Myers rattled it the other way. Good keep there by Dumoulin. And oh, is he ever hurt? And he's shaken up on the hit by Wayne Simmonds. He's still down. And now we're going to have Fistikoff as still ailing down on the ice is Dumoulin.
They're tough two guys to replace. They're two of the more important guys on this team, and losing them early like that wasn't easy, but I thought the guys, us four, did a good job. The forwards helped us out a lot and played simple, and it's unfortunate we couldn't get the win.
When you lose your top pair of defense, that's not easy. That's a tough challenge. But we have capable guys. It's going to give other guys opportunities. Hopefully, we won't lose either one of them for any length of time. But in the meantime, we're going to put guys in that we know are capable of helping us win.
And it's Andrew Filippone on this Penguins trade deadline day 2019, an hour to go before the bell rings on the trading season. NBC Sports' Doc Emmerich there, and then Justin Schultz, an Iron Man from the outdoor game, and Mike Sullivan on the tall task for this team to replace Chris Letang and Brian Dumoulin. We already know it's a concussion for Dumoulin. Penguins pushed back practice today. They're just wrapping up. I'm guessing Sullivan will talk soon. The locker room's opening up, and Jim Rutherford has announced that he's going to meet with the media at 2:45, which is a peculiar time to do it because the trade deadline is at 3. So what is Jim Rutherford doing? Scheduling a meet and greet with media with time to spare might be a signal here or a sign that the Penguins are done trading. And look, here's my take. And Chris is out, by the way. He's doing daddy duty for the next 2 weeks. So it's me today, and we're going to have a huge panel, a big cast of characters, Penguins insiders and analysts to weigh in on these trades today. But I'm just going to start with this because this is just my knee-jerk reaction to where we're at right now with what happened on Saturday. It is an absolute disgrace. It is a joke that the Penguins are in this situation right now. And what I mean by that is another outdoor game played in crappy weather with rain falling. Guys can't even see, wiping rainwater off their visors in awful conditions outdoors. And here we are again, 8 years later, 8 years after the David Steckel hit on Sidney Crosby, talking about a dirty hit outdoors that has the potential to ruin the Penguin season. Nothing's done about it. The NHL, no fine for Simmonds, no suspension. He'll get traded to some team that has a chance to win the Stanley Cup in the next hour. So for him, this is his going away present, his gift to the Philadelphia Flyers on the way out the door, that he got to take out Dumoulin with a hit, a concussion. We know how tricky those are. And then Letang, I have no problem with how Letang handled the situation. His pairing partner, his buddy, gets blasted, a completely out of character, well, not out of character for Simmonds, but outside of the game, terrible play, dirty hit. Letang comes to the rescue. He gets taken down from behind, and now he's dealing with something. Just from the way the reporters who cover this team have talked about it, it makes me think that it's semi-serious, which is awful when you consider the type of year Letang has had to this point and also what he means to the Penguins right now. So it just leaves a really crappy taste in my mouth that that hit goes really without any punishment, no discipline, and it has a really good chance of messing up any chance the Penguins had left of advancing deep in the playoffs, and actually, as it turns out, probably even making the playoffs because of where they find themselves in the standings right now, tied with the Hurricanes for the last spot with 72 points, but because of the tiebreakers, they actually find themselves on the outside looking in. One of the teams they're chasing, Columbus, has been the most active team today. They traded for Keith Kincaid to back up Bobrovsky, who's a total Penguins killer. He owns the Penguins. He's the exact opposite of Bobrovsky. The Penguins will play Columbus tomorrow night. I'd be shocked if he didn't play. And then they've got two more dates coming up with each other in March. So you're going to see a lot of Columbus. The Blue Jackets have pillaged Ottawa. They have traded for Duchesne and Dzingle in the last few days. So they bring in two top line players from Ottawa. So you figure Columbus really is in better shape right now than the Penguins. The Capitals have made themselves better with the Hagelin trade. And then most recently, the Jensen trade that happened over the weekend. he'll be a top, probably a top six defenseman for them, maybe even a top four, can really skate. Good puck-moving defenseman, so he's in D.C. They've made themselves better. The Islanders have the cushion. They haven't done anything, but there's still time for them to strike, and they've got the best defensive team, and they've gotten the best goaltending in the NHL. So we play the waiting game. It sure seems like the Penguins don't really have many cards left to play. Rutherford doesn't want to trade his first-round pick. He doesn't have a second-round pick. He doesn't have a third-round pick. It's not like they are loaded to the gills, stuffed to the gills here, with prospects to trade. So there's not really a lot Jim Rutherford can do between now and 3 o'clock. And unfortunately for Jim, a position of strength in terms of depth, defense, where they had too many guys. Oleksiak got traded for nothing. Ruedel was a spare part. Riccolo was a depth guy. Now all of these players who are ideally 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th defensemen all have to get pushed up because of a total Bush League game or Bush League hit in a game that should have, let's call it what it is, in a game that should have never been played. The game gets played Saturday night because NBC can't back out of it. They've got so many dollars invested in it. It's strictly a cash grab move by the NHL, and the Penguins have to pay the ultimate price. Brian Dumoulin has been their rock on defense from a defensive first mentality way of looking at it. He's a plus 27. We know what Letang is. He's already surpassed last year's point total. He's scored 15 goals. He's third in the NHL in time on the ice. He's playing almost 27 minutes a game. He's a plus 10. He's a Norris Trophy finalist. If they asked me to vote on a Penguins MVP right this second, I would pick Letang. And those guys are out because of totally bogus BS from the Flyers yet again. It's a Wayne Simmonds, we're going down, misery loves company, we're not going to make the playoffs, I might as well take you guys down with us type of play. Took out two Penguins on really one play. So it's classic Flyers, can't beat them on the scoreboard, we'll beat them up somewhere else. And it might end up derailing and blowing up the Penguin season. And the NHL just twiddles its thumbs and does absolutely nothing about it. Happens on national TV, there's no reaction, there's nothing. So I'm ticked. And maybe you're not as mad because we've won, you know, you look at it, we've won two Stanley Cups in the last 3 years. This run was going to end eventually. Or maybe you think, well, Andrew, we're still only a few points out of a playoff spot. It's not the end of the world. No, it's the way it happened. It's the way it happened in the fact that we're sitting here and there are two vital members of the Penguins team that are on the shelf for complete dubious and stupid reasons. Because the NHL doesn't crack down on dirty plays, and they let games get played in mud, in slop, in soup Saturday night. So I'm fired up about it. And what's really going to tick me off is when I look up at this TV screen behind me and I see Wayne Simmonds get traded to a team that probably has a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup than the Penguins right now. So I'd like to get your take on the predicament they find themselves in. If you're just finding us, it looks like Jim Rutherford is going to meet with reporters at 2:40, which is shocking to me because the trade deadline's at 3. So I take that move to mean they've already made their moves. They're probably done. I don't expect anything from them now in the next half hour. Jim Rutherford's either made his moves, he doesn't like what's out there, or he's got nothing left to trade. And when you lose number one, number two defenseman, let's call Olimata number four, maybe Jim Rutherford's thinking this just isn't our year. There really is not much to trade. There's not much left out there. Adam McQuaid, who's a big defenseman, 6'4", physical defenseman, who's on the last year of his contract, got moved to Columbus for a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick. They must not like the player because that's really not That's not giving up much. They could have afforded a move like that. They must not think McQuaid fits their style of play or the way they play. He's more of a bruiser. So here we are. Love to get your take. I'm just furious over this Penguins predicament they find themselves in. It's not so much that they're on the outside looking in for the playoffs. It's who they lost in the Stadium Series game. Not only did they lose the battle, blowing that game, coughing up a point, they also lost the war. They got screwed on both ends. They choked the game away because of their goaltender, that's another conversation to have. They blew the game, and because of a hit that went ignored, a dirty hit, they lose their two best defensemen in the process. So I'd like to get your thoughts at 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Just give you a preview of what you're going to hear today on the show. Bob Airy, Bob Grove, Jason Mackey, Jim Rutherford, maybe Mike Sullivan. So we've got you covered wall-to-wall here on the NHL trade deadline, the Penguins, and the fallout from the Stadium Series game. And I'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Craig is off today. I'm Andrew Filippone. It's the PM team.
They still have Olimata out. That's three of their top four that are significantly dinged up. He's going to look for a defenseman. How prominent that guy is probably going to depend on what he's able to do cap-wise.
Jason Mackey is going to join us at 5 o'clock. That's part of What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. Bob Airy at 3 on this NHL trade deadline day. Counting down the minutes to the deadline, 23 minutes. Also counting down to a Jim Rutherford press conference scheduled for 2:45. That timing is so odd. If a general manager is going to make a last-minute trade, why is he talking to the media 15 minutes before the deadline? It seems to me like Jim Rutherford has already made up his mind. He's done. There's not a defenseman out there he likes. He doesn't think there's one who can make the team better. He'd rather go with what they've got. He might have information to share on Letang or Dumoulin that's somewhat optimistic. We know Mata's out until right around the playoffs. Jim Rutherford, not someone who you would think sits and just watches the trade deadline. I don't know, maybe he's learned his lesson. Last year was a disastrous trade deadline for Rutherford. His big move was Derek Brassard. He traded Ryan Reeves, Ian Cole, a first-round pick, and his big goalie prospect, Philip Gustafson, for Derek Brassard, who was so bad in his 50-plus game with the Penguins, they dumped him on the Panthers. Florida flipped Brassard today for a third-round pick. There are rentals that are going for first- and second-round picks. Brassard now only nets a third. Before the season started, no one would have told you or said to you, Kevin Hayes is a better player than Derek Brassard. Hayes was traded for a first-round pick earlier today to Winnipeg. Brassard goes for a third. The Panthers took Brassard not because they thought they were going to flip him for big draft picks or for a top prospect. They wanted to get Bukestad's contract off their hands. And I don't think that's going well. I've not been impressed with Bukestad really at all. For a guy that's 6'6", he doesn't play the game hard at all. He's a finesse player. And if he finishes and creates, well then, okay, but I haven't seen that from him. So far, early returns on that trade, McCann looks like the much better player. And the issue with that is Bukestad's contract. 2 goals in 12 games. He has 2 more years on his deal at $4.1 million per season. The other problem for Rutherford is the Tanner Pearson contract. Now a fourth line player. He's been scratched a few times, $3.75 million over the next 2 years. Rutherford's made three substantial deals this year, and really only one of them has panned out. Marcus Pettersson for Daniel Sprong, you could look at and say that was at least an okay trade, a decent trade. But it doesn't look like another defenseman is coming. And I don't think this team's going to have a really hard time making the playoffs without help on defense if Dumoulin and Letang are out for an extended period of time. They're not going to finish ahead of Columbus. They're probably not going to finish ahead of Washington with the trades they made. I don't see the Islanders coming back to the pack enough for the Penguins to pass them. I think Carolina can make the playoffs over them. Montreal would be the team I would keep my fingers crossed, and eventually water finds its level. They were looked at as a bad team before the season started. Do they fall apart over the next 20 games? Not an impossibility. Although Montreal's goalie might keep them in it because they've got Carey Price, who's, you know, an elite goaltender. Mike Sullivan talking right now. We will turn around those comments for you. Right now he says Letang and Dumoulin will not make the trip to Columbus, but that was a given. We'll give you more on Sullivan coming up. 412-928-9370 if you want to weigh in on the trade deadline. And the incident Saturday night at the Stadium Series, the Simmons hit on Dumoulin, no penalty, no fine, no suspension, and the consequences of that hit, missing Letang and missing Dumoulin. 412-928-9370. Let's talk to Anthony. He's on the fan. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, thank you.
For what?
That game Saturday. For taking my call.
Oh, okay.
Appreciate it. This is the first time I got a call in, so I really appreciate it. But that hit Saturday night was rotten. But I've been seeing this going on for quite some time, and it frustrates me because these teams are just taking shot after shot on our guys, our best guys. We don't have a guy like Ryan Reeves like we had. And if he was still on our team, I really feel this wouldn't be happening.
If they have Reeves, you don't think Letang gets hurt?
I think that these guys don't take the shots that they take. Letang got hurt trying to stick up for Dumoulin.
And right, so does Dumoulin get hit if Reeves is on the team?
I don't think he does. I think these guys are going to look over their shoulder and say, if I take a shot at Dumoulin, I got to deal with Reeves, and I don't think I want to do that. And that's there's just nobody on our team that that can put the fear in that other team.
Okay, Ryan Reeves had top-line teammates, guys like, I'm trying to think, Backes got hurt in St. Louis, basically got put on a stretcher when he was there. So I never felt like Reeves was a deterrent. Did Reeves stop Tom Wilson from running amok? Is that really a common feeling or belief here? That if the Penguins had Ryan Reeves on their roster, guys wouldn't be getting hurt? I mean, maybe somebody like Zach Aston-Reese or Evgeny Malkin wouldn't feel the need to fight if he's here. Maybe Jamie Oleksiak doesn't get knocked out by Tom Wilson. I'll grant you that. Those guys might not feel the impulse or might not feel forced into fighting. But there's plenty of evidence out there to support that Reeves has not been a deterrent in his career. You have a big enforcer. That doesn't mean that guys now play cautiously against you. Wayne Simmons, to me, is not the type of guy that's going to back down because you've got a big bruiser on your roster. So I disagree with that. I mean, if you believe that, then you've got a real problem with the way Rutherford put this team together. That there's not enough toughness on it. I don't feel that way, do you? 855-212-4... Wow, I almost gave the CBS number there, Craig. 412-928-9370. I did 8 hours over there this weekend, so blame that. I heard somebody once give, like, another local radio station's number on these airwaves.
I think I heard the same thing.
I think I heard somebody once on this station go to break saying another station's name.
I have heard the same thing.
How'd your first maiden voyage show go this weekend, okay?
There were some extreme technical difficulties.
Give it a grade.
Couldn't play anything.
No, I'm saying give your show a grade. You can be your own worst critic.
I give it a B minus.
B minus.
I felt good about it, but I'm such a stickler to the details that, like, the things that happened early on that
are still bugging you.
Yeah, I won't let them go. I'll obsess over them.
Keith is on the fan. Hi, Keith. Hi, Keith.
How are you?
Keith, you're on the air.
I gotcha.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Hey, I love your show, Andrew. I played this game in college, and I watched the Penguins, and, you know, they just lack, I think, three essential areas. They don't have the toughness. They've lost that speed, and the goaltending is just so inconsistent that I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. If they do, I mean, they're going to be one and done. I think it's time you got to blow this team up.
What's that mean?
You got to start with
what's that mean?
You got to start with Horton. I think you got to get rid of some of these high-priced, high-profile guys that they're not performing right now.
So you want him to trade Kessel in the next, what, 20 minutes?
Well, I would have liked to see him been gone already. I think Hornquist is another one. And, you know, they don't have any draft picks, Andrew.
Yep.
They're really kind of, I mean, this is what you're going
to
see from the
Well, past. They robbed Peter to pay Paul. They went for the present and not the future. And I actually respect that about the Penguins. The window's open. Let's go for it. Let's not, you know, wade around in the shallow end. Let's dive. Let's cannonball into the deep end and make bold moves and trade prospects and first-round picks. My God, like, I'm envious that the baseball team doesn't do that at every opportunity. They did at the trade deadline last year, to their credit. But I like that about Rutherford. He's thinking about right now and not 2 or 3 years down the road. And maybe eventually that has to shift. You're telling me you think it's right now? Well, it looks like we're going to get an update on Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang in Shelby's update. Jim Rutherford's going to talk in 5 minutes. We will turn that audio around for you. We'll have Bob Airy at 3 as the trade deadline hits right on the number. So we're 22 minutes away. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. It's the PM team on 93.7 The Fan.
Artemi Panarin is an outstanding player, and I know Columbus believes that they have a chance to win a Stanley Cup with them, and I would agree with that. They're one of several teams that believe that they can win a cup, but you would get so much in return for him, and you've already given up so many assets in a league that you need to draft well, especially in a city where you may not have the same recruiting advantage as some of the other teams in the league. Those draft choices are critically important. I don't think it's over and done yet. I'm not 100% convinced that both players will be there at 3 o'clock.
That was on NBC, Keith Jones weighing in on the Blue Jackets. Initially, a few days ago, looked like a team that might ship Sergei Bobrovsky, who's going to be a free agent somewhere, although trading a goaltender at the deadline is hard. And also Artemi Panarin, who's already let them know he won't re-sign, he'll go into free agency. But instead, it looks like Columbus is going to take one more shot at it. Matt Duchene, Ryan DeZingle, Keith Kincaid and Adam McQuaid traded for today, so two major moves in Duchene and DeZingle, and two minor moves today, a backup goaltender and a depth defenseman. Compare that to the Penguins, who, at least from what Mike Sullivan said a few minutes ago, are getting good news on Chris Letang. It doesn't sound like it's a serious injury, like it's a season ender or anything. It's more day-to-day than week-to-week, which is awesome. Dumoulin is tough to predict because it's a concussion. Dumoulin shouldn't be concussed because it's a dirty hit that shouldn't be allowed. You got Simmons leaving his skates and targeting the head, and for whatever reason, the NHL does nothing about it, which is just total BS. Jim Rutherford, right now, from what I'm reading, is walking into the Penguins press room and is scheduled to meet with reporters 15 minutes before the deadline. So clear sign that the Penguins are done. I don't think they can afford to be done. But that's one of those things where you gotta have something to give up to get something back. And the Penguins have exhausted and used up a lot of their trade chips. Who's left? Tristan Jarry? I don't think there's demand for Tristan Jarry. So who do you trade? I don't think a team's going to covet Teddy Bluger, who, by the way, was sent down to the minor leagues again today. What's left to trade? There are not a lot of great-looking contracts at the NHL level that teams would covet. And it's not like the pipeline is loaded, like the cupboard is full of great players. We got 14 minutes to go before the deadline. Mark Stone, 28 goals in Ottawa this year, going to be a free agent, according to Sportsnet, has been traded to Vegas. So he's going to the Western Conference. And Vegas needs help because Marc-Andre Fleury has hit hard times, man. The wheels have fallen off him. You think Murray's been bad? Go look up Fleury in the last month. He's been atrocious. Here is Chris on the fan. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hi, you're on the air.
So I wanted to talk to you about, I know that you had said that you didn't think Ryan Reeves was a deterrent for the Wayne Simmonds hit, and I would totally agree. I think the difference in what the Penguins needed were guys like Alexiak and Lovejoy and Ian Cole, who after that happens and you're running four defensemen, you have a threat to the Patricks and Gustav Bears and Coutures, who are forechecking hard and throwing hits, and they realize that that's going to come back at them, and they've got something to answer to when that hit does occur, versus our forwards who really don't play any contact, and there's not really anybody else to pick up the pieces or to try to slow that down.
Yeah, here's what I don't get about what you're saying. Two or three years ago, when teams tried to impose their physical will on the Penguins, they were faster than the other team, and if your goal was to try to beat them up and pound them into submission, they would skate circles around you and beat you that way. It didn't matter if you wanted to be physical. Like, that's what the Capitals tried to do in back-to-back playoff series, and they lost. So my bigger issue is they're not as fast as they used to be. They're kind of stuck in the middle. They're not a fast team anymore, and they're not a physical team. So what are they? They don't really have an identity. What you have is a team that has a core intact from Stanley Cup wins, so it has a championship pedigree, but it really doesn't have much else. They're not fast, and they're not big. They're a team that might, because of, I don't know, experience, win a playoff series. They're still a talented team when you've got Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang healthy and those guys. It's still a team that I don't think anybody wants to play. But the Penguins aren't the 2016 Penguins who just played at a higher speed. They were skating at 70 miles per hour and everybody else was going 55. Most nights, I think they're the slower team now. And it's not like they make up for that with, like, grit, which I don't really even believe in that being a method or a way to win, but they don't scare teams physically is what I'm saying. Going to talk to Bob Airy in 10 minutes on the state of the Penguins at the trade deadline. 10 minutes to go and still nothing. Here is Steve on the fan. Hi, Steve.
First of all, that was a great hockey hit.
What was
Simmonds? I mean, you can't be penalizing that kind of stuff.
How?
It absolutely was.
So
I've been around
the
game.
Good for you, Steve.
Longer than you or even a thought.
Okay, great. That's awesome. You know, you've watched for more years. So you leave your skate. You leave your skates like that. It's fine.
That was. He didn't leave his skate.
He didn't. He was on the ice the entire time.
Now, his other skate was still on the ground, buddy.
So
and again, that is hockey. Again, Boomlin's responsible to brace for the hit. Also, he's also responsible to make a play and take a hit and be aware.
Let me ask you a question. You think you know more about hockey than Sidney Crosby?
I'm probably equivalent.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good job, Steve. Here's Crosby after the game on the Simmons hit. Quote, it looked like he made contact with his head. It's tough to see that. Matt Cullen, it looked like it was pretty high. Patrick Hornquist, it was a hit straight to the head. But you got morons like Steve. You got idiots like Steve. Still waiting on Jim Rutherford. He was scheduled to go with the media at 2:45. He still hasn't walked into the room. Maybe you've got your fingers crossed that there's a trade coming down the pike. There's really nothing on the rental market for defensemen. A guy that you could just bring in like a Ron Hainsey from a few years ago, who's just going to help get you through for the next 20 games and hopefully the playoffs, and then go his own way in free agency. You're going to let him walk. There doesn't seem to be much left on the market. Adam McQuaid was probably the best rental defenseman, and he went to Columbus for a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick. Cody Ceci, who's a Senators younger defenseman who can skate. There's still a year left on his contract after this one. It's almost a $5 million cap hit. He skated this morning with Ottawa. They've got a game tonight, so my guess is he's not going to get traded in the next 8 minutes. Wayne Simmons still hasn't been traded. That looks like that's going to come down to the wire. Here's Bob on the fan. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, man.
Listen, I have a problem when they gave him power play, when everything looked like that Penguins going to win that game, and the fact that the whole game, Flyers, they were doing all kinds of stuff, say Penguins too, it was basically a very rough hockey game.
Yeah, and the Penguins didn't have one power play. I agree. I mean, it was just – that was one of the most frustrating games. There have been some games like the San Jose game where the Penguins just weren't ready to play and got crushed. That's unacceptable this late in the year where you've got a team coming into your own building. It's a measuring stick game, and you get absolutely blown out, and you take a penalty 2 seconds in like Jack Johnson. So you pretty much just hand a game to a team. Those are frustrating. Games you have in the bag, games you have won, your goaltender melts down. You don't get any benefit of the doubt with the officials, and two of your best players get hurt because of questionable officiating and dirty play. I mean, like, the Penguins have had to stew over that game, and we've had to think about that game for 48 hours, and I'm still ticked off about it. We'll get Bob Arey's take coming up in 5 minutes. We are 6 minutes away from the NHL trade deadline. Nothing from the Penguins. Jim Rutherford about to meet with the media at Penguins headquarters. Let's get you fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in McMurray. 35 degrees right now and a low of 21. Get to Sun Chevy for auto show bonus savings. Get a sweetheart of a deal at Sun Chevy. Penguins analyst Bob Arey on the Stadium Series game and the Penguins' lack of trade deadline moves. It's the PM team.